Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I would say my biggest thing that happened to me this week is, as I've shared on the podcast, I have OCD and I have a fairly unhealthy fear of germs. And the guy who I'm in an intimate friendship with, which I'll explain what that means in a minute, he is very sick. And
Oh, sorry.
thank you. And I'm sorry for him. He's not feeling well at all. But I was out of town when he got sick and hadn't seen him in a while. And he said, "You know, I'm sick. I'm not sure if you want to come up." And I really did want to come up, which kind of surprised me. Yeah, so I am here and he's super sick. And I've had very little anxiety about the fact that he is sick. So I'm
Wow. Well,
taking
that's
that as
great.
progress.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me into the topic that I wanted to discuss today. We talked about this a little bit ahead of time, but when I said that I'm in an intimate friendship with someone, what that means is that we've decided that there are a few things that may not line up for us long term. And we really enjoy spending time with each other, have a lot of respect for each other. And we've decided that we are dating, open to dating other people. And first of all, I asked him if he was all right with me sharing this on this podcast. And he said something that I thought was kind of interesting, which is that he feels really proud of everything that we've done together as friends. And so, given that, he's fine for me to share anything I want to share. And I realized in that moment that I feel really proud about everything that we've done as friends as well. And I can't say that about many friendships. Sheila, I feel proud of almost everything that we've done together. But I feel even more proud that there's a few things that I'm not proud about, and we've been able to work through that stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. For a minute there, I wasn't sure if you were talking about your friendship with him that you were proud
Yeah.
of. So, but thank you. And I feel the same way. I agree. I agree. We've had ups and downs and, we'll probably continue to have those, but yeah, we're working them out. So, I do want to, as we say, interject a question just because I'm kind of catching up a little bit. So, this arrangement that you're talking about, so does that mean both of you have agreed that the open relationship means that you're not exclusive and you're kind of in a place where you're both free to explore other relationships in even intimate ways, but you're still having one yourself
Yeah, I
with
think
each
it's
other.
maybe slightly different than that. So,
Okay.
first of all, to back up a little bit, the main reason why I wanted to have this conversation is that I'm learning a lot by being in what we call an intimate friendship, and it's the first time in my life where I haven't been in a more traditional exclusive dating relationship. And so I'm learning a lot and kind of wanted to share that. But also, Sheila, I often learn the most from our conversations when you help me think through things that I'm thinking through, and
Oh,
you
thank you.
offered to do that for this.
No. So I'm not sure I'm defining it. So essentially, what you're having now is your friends with benefits, if
Well,
I'm getting that term correct.
I guess I want to. I actually don't want to label it like that. So
Okay. All right. No problem.
I think it's different than both of the things that you mentioned
Okay. Well, then I'll
for a
let you
couple
talk.
ways.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're both interested eventually in being in a monogamous relationship with someone, but we're not sure if it's going to make sense for us to be in a long-term relationship. And we're both in our 40s and life is short. And we have agreed that we don't want to hold each other back from finding that long-term relationship. And I feel like it's a little bit different than friends with benefits because that feels a little bit more sexual to me. Like, more like you really like just being friends and you have sexual needs. And so then you're friends with benefits.
Right.
And I'm not going to speak for him in any of this, but for me, that's not quite how I feel about this. And the first thing that I learned in this process is that I have a lot of judgments about women who engage in non-exclusive relationships, which I feel are unfair now. And one of the judgments that I have is that I feel like when women allow are in a relationship in which they allow the man to be non-exclusive, I had some judgments that maybe those women were not strong enough to say that they wanted exclusivity. And I feel differently about that because I actually think it takes quite a bit of courage and bravery to be open to something different than an exclusive relationship. So I would say that that's the first thing that I learned. And when he first said, he was the one who brought up this concept. And when I first heard him say that, I thought to myself, no way would I be open to that. And I've learned as I've gotten older that it's good to think about the opposite side of your story. I thought, well, am I open to this? Like, in what ways could this open up some possibilities for me? And I have only been in one relationship other than this since I was 21 years old, which is my marriage. And there is a chance that there could be a long-term possibility. I'm going to just say his name so I don't have to keep saying this man. He said it's okay. His name is John. But there
Okay.
is a chance that I could be in a long-term relationship with John. I don't ever want to deny any possibility for the future. And I think if that does turn out, I actually will be better off if I date a little bit since I haven't been in any other relationship since I was 21. And on Friday, I did go out on a date, and it wasn't anything that I was interested in pursuing any further, but it really helped me clarify my thinking about what I am looking for. And I felt like that was a healthy process for me. But I don't know, I want to stop there because you're so good at helping me think through. Do you have any initial
Well,
reactions?
a little, I would have to say. Because, I know that having had other conversations outside this podcast, that you and John have a very nice, honest relationship, and you really seem to enjoy him and have been surprised. You mentioned the OCD and how you overcame it, the things that you feel like the relationship you have with him outweigh other things so that you can actually overcome them. So I don't know, maybe this question is not, but the question that came in my head, because you mentioned that he was the one who brought it up. Do you have any sense of how you would feel if he had never brought that up? I mean, you're saying you can learn from it and you can get something from it, but if it got wiped out, like if we could go back boom, 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 back in time. And he never said that. He never expressed he wanted to do that. How would that make you feel?
I think that I would be at the same place, actually, which is that after spending a few months getting to know each other, I would have reservations about what I was maybe overlooking because I went from one long-term relationship to another.
Yeah. He's the first one. I know you. He's really the first one that you've expressed interest in and have enjoyed since your divorce. And so, yeah, I hear all this stuff. But you know me, my brain, so you're asking for my input, which immediately goes to what the dangers of, one person caring more than the other. Because usually, I mean, the monogamous relationship is, you meet, you kind of check each other out, and then you announce you're exclusive, and then you kind of try to navigate the relationship for a while. This is a little different, and I could see if you're two separate people. It's good if you're dating and you're interested in that and you're ha like you didn't have a good experience the other day, but the next one might be okay. But what if that keeps happening? And yet he seems really engaged with, I'm going out again. I'm having a good time. Actually, it's the same person. Like, and
Yeah,
maybe we
well,
don't need to go ahead that far, but
yeah. So for me, I feel like, and we've talked about this too, meaning John and I have talked about this, but if either of us becomes really interested in someone and we have more of a serious relationship with that person, neither John nor I are interested in continuing our relationship in the way that it is now. Because it feels like a break of trust with the other person.
Oh, the third party you're talking about, or each other. Okay.
Well,
Okay.
possibly even each other. But in my mind, again, I'm not going to speak for John. In my mind, I think that this situation only works under two scenarios. One is I have a nice relationship with John, and we go on like first dates with people to better understand what
What's
we're
out there?
missing and what we're looking for.
What's out there?
And we find something that we really do want, and we decide that, meaning John and I, decide that we're going to go back to being just friends or whatever. But that's one scenario. Or the other scenario is we look and we realize that there are some nice things out there, but that the package that we have together, it's what we really want, and then decide to lean into that. I'm open to either of those scenarios.
You are, but which one do you like better?
Honestly, I don't have a preference at this point. I might have felt differently a couple months ago, but now I feel as if, there are some things that just may not line up for the long term. And I'm not finding myself sitting at home thinking like, oh, I hope he chooses me.
No, that's, I mean, I'm glad that you have that awareness of how you feel, and that's the place you're at. I've listened to conversations, so it's been a little bit of a journey since you and he met, and this seems kind of a little bit of a different place than maybe a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think it is. I think I don't need to explain that more. It does feel different than a couple
No,
months ago.
you don't. And so clearly, this would not work for a lot of people. You both, and you've said you're both kind of on the same page about where how you're feeling about kind of each other, how you're feeling about wanting to see what else is out there. And again, you rely on me sometimes to be blunt, whatever. So I understand on your end of it. Because you just were recently divorced. This is like your first relationship. But what about him? Like, Why is he still in that frame of mind that he's still checking? Like, has he come off a relationship too that's been long term?
No, and I don't really want to speak for him again.
Okay.
So I guess I'll say what he said to me, which is that he really wants to be in a long-term relationship, and he feels skeptical that we're going to work out long-term because there's just a few things that don't line up. And I hear his perspective and see his perspective and honestly think there's a good chance that he's right. I'm probably a little bit more open to the possibility that that's not right.
Right.
But
Right.
I
And I'm
don't
not, I'm,
feel
yeah.
I don't feel certain that he's wrong. And so I feel like this process is good for both of us in that, because
No, okay.
if he is right, then great. And if he's wrong and changes his mind and I'd also change my mind, then that's great too. There's a possibility that one person's going to change their mind and the other person isn't, and that's going to be difficult.
Right.
But I feel like it's worth the learning and the fun that I'm having in this process to go through the process.
Yeah, no, I mean, listening to you and hearing what you're saying, I agree. And having, again, I know you, I know a little bit about John, and I'm not going to speak for you, and I'm just going to very tentatively say my perception is some of the reasons both of you have probably felt that resistance that this may not be long term is you have polar opposite personalities in some things. And those polar opposite personality, nothing, value system or whatever, but it's things that some people just say, oh, opposites attract, we can do it. So kudos to you to acknowledge that maybe the lifestyle feelings you both have could just weigh you guys down too much to be able to proceed and say, yeah, we're just gonna kind of go forward. Am I categorizing that?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to explain it.
Yeah,
That,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really a value system thing. I mean, at least that's
No,
not my
and that's
perception.
an important, that's a really important distinction about relationships in general, in my humble opinion, that we do have shared values and shared ethical standards. And we just have some personality traits that are polar opposites and might make it kind of challenging to live together.
That's kind of, yeah, that's what I was, you said it. Like, especially the, when you say polar opposites, because some people, like, they're not meshed completely personality wise, but they're not as far apart in some ways as the two of you are.
Right.
It's a gap, depending on the gap,
Yeah, and I'm just going to come out and say it what it is, because I think otherwise it, I don't know, might sound kind of odd, but I have OCD. I'm very neat and tidy and cleanly. He is not a dirty person. I would not classify him as that such. He's actually pretty organized, and he just likes the freedom of, is just one example. He could throw a t-shirt and a pair of shorts and a backpack and not have, be forced to spend 6 days in those clothes without washing them for whatever reason, and it wouldn't really bother him. It's not that he'd necessarily do that on a normal basis, but it wouldn't bother him. And that's just really different for me. Like, that's like my worst nightmare.
Really, your worst? I don't know if it's your worst, but
No,
it's
it's
up
not my
there.
worst. It's
It's
not my
up there.
worst.
And I think, and again, because you asked, you said you like to talk things out with me, and I've known some stuff. Another thing that kind of gets in there is like your feelings about like having a pet.
Yeah, I
Because
don't like dogs. I'll just come out and say that. I mean,
yeah, because
my parents have a dog. The dog leaps at people she loves when they come in the door. When my parents' dog sees me come in the door, she literally sinks and walks the other direction. It's not that I'm
Okay.
mean to the
Yeah.
dog, but dogs have very strong senses, and she can sense that I am not that interested in her.
No, and we you don't have to, but I'm just because just in thinking, I know a lot of couples in my family, whatever, and the meshing of that issue is pretty important, whether you have kids or not, really. And of course, the meshing of kids, but I don't think that's in the mix here. Most of the people I know in your generation, my kids, friends, whatever, who have dogs or cats, they're both animal lovers. Or that don't, and they're both good with that.
And John, when he was a kid, they had a family dog, but that dog fell in love with him and became his dog and slept in his bed and, was like his best friend ever. And that's just really. And for people who love dogs, it's kind of like the whole thing of trying to compromise when one person wants a child and the other person doesn't. It's
Well,
kind
no,
of
it
hard to
is.
compromise on that.
It is. As a dog lover myself, I and when you were saying about how we had the dog sleep in the bed, and I was going hearkening back to what you just said a few minutes ago, that could be added to maybe one of your worst nightmares, right?
Yeah, but I also think that this is a good example of the things that I'm open to. So I think part of the reason why I feel like there could be a chance that this could work out long term is if you told me 6 months ago that I was going to choose to come stay with a man who probably has COVID right now.
Oh,
And
you didn't.
even,
I didn't get that. Oh, I didn't get that. You
I
think
don't
he might
know.
have COVID. Oh, okay. All right.
I think we're up in the boonies with no way to get that test easily in a snowstorm. But yeah, I think, I mean, he thought it was a head cold and he's pretty sick. So it probably is COVID or something. Anyway, but if you would have told me 6 months ago that I would voluntarily leave my own comfortable home to go stay with a man who probably had COVID, I would have said, no way will I do that. So I'm here. I'm glad that I'm here. I think I'm happier that I'm here than he is, because he kind of wants to be alone and sick and miserable by himself. But it's a big win for me. And I just feel like I'm open to the possibilities of what happens. And I also feel like one of the benefits of having, for me, of having serious health issues is that I realize that I'm not in control. And just when I think I know what's going to happen with my life and I know what my next steps are going to be, you realize that cancer or something else might just throw a complete wrench in it. In one way, that's scary, but in another way, that's provided a lot of solace for me, because I've been able to surrender to the fact that I'm not in control and that there may be something waiting for me that I don't expect. And I feel open to that possibility with John.
Yeah. Well, I mean, personally, that resonates with me in terms of health stuff and just having to kind of pivot, go with the flow kind of thing. So I guess, my take on this is I think you really thought it through, if that's what you're asking me to do.
Yeah, great.
I think you've evaluated how it can help you move forward, either on your own or with John. I do, as your friend, want to be cautionary, be careful, because you can get blindsided, especially if feelings for him grow more than maybe you're feeling right now. And then the rug gets pulled out from under you, and you've agreed to that. That could be difficult. So, one thing I'd recommend is, which will be hard because we're completely not thinking about, I mean, it's always like these first dates, but if there's more than one or two dates, then there's a whole other person out there who's in the mix. And so, like, my recommendation for you was going to be if you can both be honest and just really keep each other apprised of how things are progressing. But I don't know that that's completely reasonable in the realm of you being able to grow another relationship. And that person feeling like you're going to report back to somebody else now. I mean, that's so, I guess be mindful of that, you know, right now it's a very esoteric, like there are baseless dates out there. But when it becomes a person, and then it's like you're telling that person about us, or I'm having to hear about this person, or am I feeling like I'm competing with this person? Yeah. I mean, those are just all feelings that I guess I'm not saying they're going to happen, that they inevitably have to happen, but be aware that they could happen, I
Yeah, I
guess.
think that's really good advice. I think that's really good advice. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting issue. I mean, I'm glad that you suggested it and brought it up, and I do really appreciate the fact that you feel like I can be helpful in terms of some of my perspectives. Never really having, I'm not saying that in a judgmental, you know, it's not something that ever exhibited itself in anything I've been through in my life where I've had that be an issue that I had to really kind of drill down and think about. I mean, the only time, and it wasn't even that same thing. I had a brief relationship, you know, found somebody online and dated for like a few months. And after a few months, I was just kind of in a place where I don't know that our personalities mesh and he wants to spend more time together than I may want to. So I had like the breakup conversation. And his response was, "Oh, so you don't want to spend as much time with me? Well, how about if we both see each other people?" And so we can, and I'm like, look at it, I'm like, okay, I probably didn't explain this as well as I should. It's like I like my solitude and I don't like our relationship so much that I'm willing to give up that so much of that solitude, like, you know, one or two times a week, that kind of thing. So that's the only time I've come up against that where somebody kind of put that out there. And I just immediately, no, I kind of want you to just go away. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not naming names. And this was a long time ago. So I don't think anybody will recognize themselves. But that's the only, you know, because I was thinking, do I have any? So, you know, hopefully I was helpful. I'm gaining my knowledge from just life experience and books I've read, stuff I've seen, other friends. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will say that the main reason why I wanted to talk about this publicly is one, every time you help me think through something, I learn something, and I think other people could learn from it too. But also, this is something that has been kind of scary for me to admit that I'm engaging in this. And every time that I've shared something that was scary for me to admit, it's helped another person. So I'm hopeful that maybe somebody hearing this is helped in some way and can feel like they're not alone.
No, I mean, you talked about how you kind of feel like one of the advantages is it's making you feel like you're being brave. And I agree, you're being brave.
Yeah. Well,
So maybe we'll just
thank you,
close it on
Sheila.
that. Yeah, no, thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you for your compliments, your friendship, and for making me feel like I have something to contribute.
That's really nice. I'm always grateful for our friendship. Thank you.
I
Until
guess we'll
next
see.
time.
Until next time. Bye, Elizabeth.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.